How's everybody doing today? Great, great, great. Want to welcome everybody watching in North County. Let's give all the people in North County a hand. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. And watching online, why don't y'all all take a second, like 15 seconds, and say hello to someone next to you. Ask them their name, give them a high five, a hug, or something like that. Let me encourage all of you, if you are not volunteering somewhere, to sign up for the parking ministry when you leave. We cannot do what we do without them. And so, matter of fact, y'all parking people, just stand up with the little vest, with the vest on. Just stand up real quick. Amen. So let me encourage you to go out there. And if you're in North County, go volunteer for something up there. I'm sure they need volunteers somewhere in North County. So are y'all ready for the word? Let's see the Bible. Let's see your Bibles. My bad. Let's see your Bible. If you have a phone, Bible on your phone, lift it up too. Amen. Say 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, New Testament. John chapter 8. And if you are a visitor, welcome to The Rock. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor, and it's a pleasure to have you here. If you are having a bad day, if you're having a bad summer, even though it just started, or your life is just jacked up, we are glad you are here. There are a lot of people who have messed up lives, and so not any fault of their own necessarily. They're just it's not going well. We're glad you're here. God has a lot of love for you, and hopefully you can have a powerful encounter with him today. So let's all pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And we do pray you encourage people today and that you would reassure them they're not alone, that you understand what they're going through. And I pray they would just trust you and wait through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say a little more about that. We all go through very difficult times in our life, and a lot of times you feel very all alone, like you're the only one going through it, or everybody knows what you're going through and they're looking down at you, or there's no hope for you. We all experience that. I experience that all the time. And so I want to encourage you, God is faithful. He will get you through. Just wait it out. Trust in him. Let him do what he's going to do. Don't let the devil trick you into taking matters into your own hand and doing something irrational. And by the way, anything irrational would be anything that's unbiblical. God is going to always have you do something, but never unbiblical. So let me just encourage you in that. I can't stress to you enough how real pain is in life. I experienced it, very deep pain. Jesus was a man of sorrows. He had a lot of pain all the time. And so you're not alone. It's not like God has left you. It's just part of life. And so just ask God what he wants you to learn through it, how he wants you to grow through it, and he'll get you through. Trust me, he will get you through. There are a lot of drama mamas on television. You know, all the women of whether it be reality TV or just celebrities who got drama all the time. Now, let me preface this by saying there's a lot of dudes that got drama too. But I'm just going to focus on a few of the honeys because the story in the Bible is about a young lady. You have Lindsay Lohan. I remember Lindsay Lohan in her movie Parent Trap like 40 years ago. She was a little itty-bitty girl, about 8 years old or so. I watched that movie literally 100 times. Because my kids were little. And actually, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie. I think she's a great, very talented young lady. She just got drama in her life. And if any of you know her, I would love to sit down and talk with her. Snooki is my favorite. I love me some Snooki. She's from New York. She's one of my girls from New York. her middle name is Drama. I don't have the time to go through all her drama. But if you know her, I would love to talk a little Snooki. Just give a little Jesus so she would we'd have a good time talking about some stuff. But today's focus is Kim Kardashian, I think the queen of drama. Very pretty young lady, likes athletes. She's dated Reggie Bush, Miles Austin from the Dallas Cowboys, Chris Humphries. I think she's now with Kanye West, so she left the athlete thing. She went to the singer thing, and I think that's the last I heard. Always in drama. What does it say about us when we view and hear about what these young ladies, Britney Spears, all these young ladies go through, and then trash them? Says something about our heart. Today is our last sermon on this series, Exposed, which talks about, we've been talking about what's exposed in our heart when we criticize people. Next week, we're going to wrap it all up. But what does it say in our heart when we criticize the drama mamas? Well, we're going to look at a story in the Bible where a young lady gets caught doing something she shouldn't be doing, and they bring her to Jesus and start talking about it. But there's something else going on with the people who bring her to Jesus. And we're going to look at that. So now in this story, Jesus is a very controversial brother. When I say brother, I just mean a guy. I don't mean he's a black or, you know, just so y'all know. He wasn't white either. He was a Jew. Okay, you ever see the movies? They make him to Hollywood. But he's a Jewish guy from the Middle East. As a matter of fact, I was witnessing to a Jewish guy recently. He says, you know, I can't become a Christian because I'm Jewish. I said, Jesus was Jewish too. And he kind of paused. That guy was Ron Jeremy, by the way. He's Jewish. And he was very controversial, and they were always after to kill him. They wanted to kill him because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. They wanted to kill him because he said God was his father, making himself equal with God. Some of his disciples, not the 12, some of his other disciples stopped walking with him because he said he was the bread of life. He always had these people that were after him. Now, there were some people who thought he was a good guy and loved the way he said. The Bible says that the common people heard him gladly. But it was the religious people that had a problem with him because they didn't want to submit to him. They didn't want to accept the fact that he was God, the Savior, because then they would have to submit to him. They didn't want his authority in their life because at the time, they were it. And so in this story, we're going to look at these religious guys are trying to catch Jesus in a lie. They're trying to catch him in a contradiction so they can accuse him, arrest him, and eventually have him killed. And so this story is really about these religious people and Jesus, not the woman caught in adultery. And I'm going to propose to you that when you talk about people, whether it be the drama mamas, the politicians, or whatever, all the different kind of people we've been talking about, whenever you talk about those people to criticize them, it's an indication and a symptom of your relationship with God. It has nothing to do with them. They're just in the middle. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Your battle is not with people. Your battle's with God and the devil. We're all spiritual beings, and we have the spiritual battle going on. Matter of fact, someone described it as having two pit bulls in your heart. One pit bull is a good pit bull, and one pit bull is a bad pit bull. And they fight every day. You have this temptation between good and evil. And the pit bull that you feed is the pit bull that's going to win the fight that day. And so if you feed your head with garbage, your life is going to be about garbage. If you feed your head and your heart with the word of God and prayer and worship, then that pit bull is going to win that day. And you'll live a spiritually victorious life. So we have that battle every day. So what happened was when they saw this woman commit adultery, their issue was with Jesus. How do we get Jesus and we're going to use her in the middle? So let's read the story, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, verse 2, I'm sorry, early in the morning, he came again to the temple and all the people came to him. He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in his midst, they said, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Wow, she was actually doing it when they saw her. Okay? So, fellas, how long did you watch? I'm just saying, she was in the very act. How long did you watch before you, what did you do? Just wait before it was over and then you got her? By the way, where's the dude? Because she wasn't by herself. That's not called adultery. You'll get that later when you're driving home, okay? So look what it says. They're basically sitting there watching, okay, we're going to get this woman, we're going to get this woman, and then they're going to get her. I don't know how that transaction took place, and they're going to bring her to Jesus and throw her in the midst and say, Jesus, she was caught in the very act. We got video. We got proof. She is guilty. What do you say? Okay. Verse 5, it says, Moses in the law commanded that she should be stoned. What about you? Now, is the woman guilty? Absolutely. If she was committing adultery, absolutely. But that is not the issue. The issue is the heart of the people bringing her to Christ. What is their motivation? So when you see people who are down or when you see people caught doing something wrong, what is the motivation of what you do when that happens? If you are trying to criticize them and highlight their sin, let me tell you three things going on in your heart, possibly. Number one in your notes. Number one. You are more committed about proving how much you know versus who you know. It's all about how much information you got, how smart you got, how good you are versus Jesus. My prayer for every time, every series we teach here is that you would come to church not only wanting information or not only wanting to be encouraged, but wanting transformation. I'm going to say it a different way. When you come to church, hopefully you have your pen, hopefully you have your Bible, and God's going to say something to you. And by the way, you should use your lesson plan to write whatever God says to you. Don't just fill in the blank. God may tell you things that are not written on the notes for you. Write it down. You will forget it. If you do social media, Twitter, Facebook, tweet it out. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Tweet it out to your social network. Here's what God told me. But my challenge is that you come not only for information, is that you will come for transformation. In other words, you will come willing to be jammed up by God. That God would be able to say, that's you, you need to change. And you would say, okay. Now, as this series we've been talking about being exposed, probably more than any other series we've ever done that I can imagine, have we had so much pushback from people. And what I mean by pushback is emails and complaining and I'm never coming back to the church and because people have issue with stuff. Matter of fact, when Ron was here, people had issue. Why is he in our church? I could not believe that. You're not supposed to be here. That is the most insane thing I ever heard in my life. Most insane. And I've never, I hate to use the word never, but I don't know that I've heard so much self-righteousness, arrogance, that is completely the opposite. Matter of fact, is exactly what we're talking about. People who think, I'm perfect and I shouldn't be around people like that. There are people sitting around you right now that are straight up dog evil. And we are so happy you are here. So happy you're here. And so my challenge to you is that it would not be about information you know or how good you are or how right you are or how much Bible you learn versus how much you know Jesus and how much of Jesus people experience when they're around you. If there's one thing we got to get right as believers is that we have to learn to love everybody the way Jesus does. Now, years ago, there was a little slogan, what would Jesus do? WWJD, they had the bracelets and the hats and the shirts and all kinds of stuff. And that was all kind of cool, but it could have been very subtly, really bad. What I mean by that is that there are people who say, what would Jesus do? And that is their religion. They try to think, what would Jesus do? And mimic him. And they think, if I can mimic him and just think about him and do what I think he would do, I'm a Christian. That is a very dangerous thing to think. Matter of fact, that is going to send a lot of people to hell. You're like, how could that be? Because it's not about you copying Jesus. It's about Jesus loving through you. I can copy Jesus in my own mind without Jesus. I know a whole lot of people, a whole lot of people who are not Christian, but yet Jesus is their homeboy. And they do what they think Jesus would do whenever they feel impulsed to do it. And they think that's okay. No, no, no. Jesus needs to live in us. And he needs to love through us. He needs to be patient through us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is when two people are separated by a wall. And there's a person here, and a wall in the middle. And you reconcile by tearing down the wall and uniting those people. Christ has given us the message of reconciliation, the Bible, and the ministry and the commission to go reconcile people to himself. Not to talk about what we know, even though it's based on it, there is information associated with it, but the gospel is not information. The gospel is not information. The gospel is a person, Jesus. And so when you see someone down on their luck, when you see someone messing up, when you see someone ruining their life, what Jesus says, I want to love that person. Not talk about how they're wrong. Their guilt is evident. I mean, all you have to do is watch reality shows. They all know that when they're jacked up. I don't know if you've ever seen The Mob Wives. Anybody seen Mob Wives? Oh, my goodness. These girls from New York. Again, my people's from New York. I got to see what's going on in my state. Women, oh, wow. But they know. The conscience knows what people need is a hug. From the Lord. Not, here's what the Bible says, and I'm going to prove you wrong. Don't fall into that trap. Use that information to encourage somebody. Number two. It says, we believe that highlighting someone else's sins will distract God from our sins. Woo-hoo-hoo. God, look at them. Oh, look at them. Oh, look at them. God's saying, oh, no, I'm looking at you. Matter of fact, I'm listening to you. We think that if we highlight someone else's fault, we're going to look better because all of a sudden we know. Look at how much we know about how to live right by pointing out someone else's fault. Look what Jesus did. This is funny to me. By the way, Jesus is hilarious. You miss a lot of humor with Jesus. He's hilarious, he's cool, he's smooth, he's all that, and a bag of chips all at the same time. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? Verse 6, this they said, testing him that they might have something to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground with his finger as though he didn't even hear him. So he's sitting down already teaching, and he stoops down on the ground, and they're like, Jesus, this woman's caught in the act of adultery. What are you going to do? Moses said that she should be stoned, and Jesus goes, whatever. And he lets them talk. Go ahead. Keep talking. And they're like, yeah. He's just writing in the dirt. I don't know what he was writing, but wouldn't it be cool if he was writing their names? And the day and time they were with that woman. Yep. He gave them opportunity to hang themselves with their words. The more you talk, the more you convict yourself. The more you talk, the more you expose your own issue. The mouth speaks in the overflow of the heart. The more you talk, the more you expose your ignorance to your own sin. And he just let them talk. And then he stood up. Look what he said. Cool. He who was without sin, let him throw the first stone. And then he stooped down and wrote in the ground. Your sin. Yeah, you lied last week. You did this. You did that. And all of a sudden, they're looking at themselves. So here you are, all talking about this person, talking about this person, talking about this person. And God just says one thing to you. If you have no sin, keep talking. If you have no sin, keep talking. But your very talking is sin. The fact that you are beating that person down and talking about stuff you don't know what you're talking about, spreading gossip, causing division, especially in the body of Christ, that is your sin. So you just need to be quiet. That's all he said. And then look what happened. Before I say that, let me say this. When you think that beating someone else down or criticizing someone else is going to distract you, God, from you, or make you look better than you are, one of the things it says about your heart is that you don't understand the forgiveness of God. You don't need to make yourself look better for God to love you. You don't need to make yourself look better for you to be valued. God wants to forgive you completely. As a matter of fact, every relationship you're in, this is my opinion. And my opinion means what? Thank you. Thought y'all were asleep out there. Y'all awake. Y'all are really all awake. That every relationship you are in and every relationship that you have that's positive, the only way that relationship exists is because someone forgave someone. Can I get amen? Amen. The only reason my wife and I married because she forgave me 137 times in 1 year. I forgave her for nothing because she's perfect in all ways. Well, she's not here, so I take that back. Think about it. All your friends, you had to forgive them at some point. They had to forgive you. Your parents had to forgive you. Your parents are stuck with you, but they still had to forgive you. Everybody you know. And for some reason, we forgave those people. We walk in forgiveness all day, every day. And for some reason, when it comes to God, we think we got to prove something to God. We can't just receive from him his forgiveness. Can't earn it. Can't pay it back. And if you've received from him his forgiveness in full, he expects you to share his forgiveness in full. But yet something happened in the transition. In other words, you supposedly received it, but yet you can't give it. You receive forgiveness, yet you give condemnation. How does that work? There's a disconnect. Because if Christ is in you trying to love the world and you're getting in the way saying, no, I'm going to criticize the world, there's a disconnect. There's a contradiction. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 9, then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. If you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, and you are like this woman, guilty, by the way, she is guilty. Jesus defending her was not Jesus condoning or approving of her behavior at all. He was just doing it his way. And when someone is wrong, your job is not to highlight the wrong. Your job is to love them the way Jesus would. Doesn't mean you approve of it. It means you're treating them the same way Christ treated you. And so now he's there alone. So if you are someone who's never asked Christ to be your Savior, you want to be alone with God. That's who you want to be alone with. You don't want to be alone with man. Man will chew you up and spit you out. Can I get amen? That's unfortunate. And if anything we learn through this, and this is my prayer that y'all learn through this series, is that you think twice about how you talk about people. Think twice about how you love people. Remove your Christian snob barriers. Oh, yes, there are Christian snobs listening right now. There's everything in here. There's very godly people, and there's very knucklehead jerks in here. There's truth tellers and liars. There's rich and poor, black, white, Hispanic, and other. There's everything. And there's Christian snobs. There's some of you in here who you think you are better than people who are not saved. And that is not right. It's not true. You think that you have something that's, you're high and mighty. Ooh, dangerous. You're like the scribes and the Pharisees that look down on Jesus because you have information in your head about the Bible. That is really sad. My prayer is that this series helps you reevaluate your attitude And that when you drive down the street and see people that you would, oh, I'm never going near them, that that attitude would be gone. And that you would be challenged to go minister to people, build relationships with people, love people that have nothing to do with you. That in your old mind would think, or you would think are below you, which in fact they are not. That's my prayer. And that you were just not to be this Christian, come to church, be in your own little huddle. By the way, some people think coming to church is their little country club. I'm around people like me and it's all safe. Well, newsflash, a lot of those people who you would never be around out there, they're in here. Now, the good thing is that you've been coming here and you've been like, oh, it's pretty cool. Why? Because those people are not what you think. And by the way, those people are not one category. Those people apply to all of you because you are those people to somebody. Those people who live south of 94. Those people who live north of 52. Those people who live in the East County. Those people who surf. Everybody's a those people to somebody. Do you understand that? And everybody got something against somebody else. Do you understand that? And when you come to church, and God, and gladly we have that kind of melting pot here, is that you would take an opportunity to realize that those people are just like you. And if you ever have an opportunity to go to prison, I was at the Donovan State Prison several years ago at this one particular time, getting ready to preach, and the guys were standing in their orange jumpsuits, and I was standing in the doorway getting ready to come out, and God said to me, clear as you hear my voice now, which he speaks to me a whole lot like that all the time. He said, I want you to make sure those guys out there know I love them. I said, I got you. He said, no. You don't understand, Miles. I know you got your message. I want you to make sure that you communicate crystal clear to those guys out there and tell them I love them. And when he was telling me this, he was flooding me, showering me with that message. Not only the words, but the love itself. And I remember crying, looking out at these guys. White guys together, black guys together, Mexican guys together, Samoan guys together, in their jumpsuits, in a cage. And God said to me, those are my guys. And they got deceived. I tell them I love them. Make it sure you say that. So they did the music, and I went up on stage, and I said, fellas, before I give you my message, I need to tell you this, because I wasn't going to, I want to make sure I said it crystal clear right up front. I need to tell you, I was standing back there, and I just told them what I just told you. God was speaking to me, and he says, he wants y'all to know that he loves you. And I'm going to say it again. I want you guys to understand and hear me clear. God loves you. Now, you're all guilty. I'm not talking to the inmates, I'm talking to you now. You're all guilty of sin. By the way, you have a death sentence over your head. God is going to kill you because of your sin. Your sin is going to kill you. But God loves you. You're guilty as guilty can be, but God loves you. That's good. And he loves us in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. So look what he says, this guilty woman. She's guilty. Verse 10, when Jesus raised himself up, he saw no one. Woman, where are those accusers? Has no one condemned you? Say no one. So we go around condemning people. This is exactly the story we need to hear. You can condemn somebody if you have no sin. And then it says, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either. Now, go and sin no more. In other words, don't keep doing what you've been doing. But I love you. And I want to help you. I wonder when's the last time you in North County, you here, actually had that kind of conversation with somebody who was guilty. I wonder when's the last time you had a conversation with somebody who was guilty for hurting you. In other words, someone has offended you, and God used you to encourage them. Wow. I wonder if you're humble enough to let God do that through you. A lot of people think God loves me because I'm worthy of that love. Woo! And a lot of people, some people will think, you know what? I'm not really thankful for God's forgiveness because I really wasn't that bad in the first place. Woo! There's a story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 7, Jesus was in a Pharisee's house. A Pharisee is another word for religious self-righteousness. He's in the house, and this woman of the night, this sinner woman, comes in, and she's crying on his feet, wiping his feet with her tears and hair. And the Pharisee, the religious one, the religious man, the religious snob, thinks to himself, if Christ was a real prophet, he would know what kind of woman that is touching him. And Jesus, of course, because he's God, knows what he's thinking. He says, Simon, I got something to say to you. And he tells a story that basically indicts Simon's thoughts. Oh. He said, this woman has been forgiven much. That's why she loves much. People who don't love much, they don't realize how much they have been forgiven. They think that they've only been forgiven a little bit and that they're really good. And they really deserve it. And that other people don't deserve it. And they're too good to be with those other people. God forbid that be you. And that you could say, you know what, I'm so thankful that you love me. And I'm so thankful you gave me a chance. How can I share that with somebody else? My prayer is that that will be your heart. And my prayer is that when you notice that that's not your heart, and when you notice that you're having those kind of self-righteous, condescending thoughts and words, that you would catch yourself. And you would realize that your sinful nature has been exposed and the wickedness in your heart is exposed, and you will repent of that and say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for thinking that. And by the way, no one in this room is exempt from that. But you don't have to do it tomorrow as much as you did it today. That's my prayer that this series has done for you. So here's, we're going to end with this. Number one, two things. Oh, did we do the last one? Last one, you are more interested in breaking broken people than healing broken people. In other words, you are more interested in pointing out someone's faults, kicking them while they're down, validating why they're in the position they're in, versus saying, how can I help them? And if Christ is living in your heart and alive and well, I promise you 100% of the time, he's going to be thinking, how can I help them? And if you're not thinking, how can I help them, there's a disconnect between you and God. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go help every person you see. But it does mean that whatever's going on in your head and thoughts about going on in your head has to be loving thoughts. Because you never know who God wants you to encourage. I was at a stoplight getting ready to make a U-turn. This guy was standing in the middle of the street on the divider with a sign asking for food. And I had this little health bar in my car that I have these little health bar things that I eat. And that's all I had. So I rolled down my window and I said, hey, here's a bar. This is really healthy. Eat it. And he looked at it like, what is that? And I said, brother, please don't throw this out. This is a real good bar. It's really healthy. Because I don't want to give it to you and throw it out. I'll eat it. I didn't say that, but that was kind of the message. I was like, don't waste it, okay? And he looked at me and he says, what is your name? I said, I can't remember how the exchange went, but basically he said, you're Miles McPherson. I said, yeah. He says, I used to work with you at the Horizon Church. And he just broke down and cried. And then we had a little talk, light turned green, people blowing, I had to go. I told him, you know, do this, do that, blah, 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 blah. It was real brief. You never know. Please, please don't ever think you're up here, because you're not. And that is not the goal. The goal is to be down here. That's the goal, is to be humble. And if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, here's what Jesus is saying. I want to love you today. I want to forgive you right now. I'm not mad at you. If God was mad at you, wanted to hurt you, he would have smoked you a long time ago. Right? The only reason you're still alive is that he's giving you opportunity to repent because he loves you. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, before you do that, two things. Number one, I want you to go sign up for the Parker Ministry when you leave, but I also want you to find one person. Everyone say one person. Here's your challenge. Find one person that you can bring next week. Okay? Now, if some of you are like, man, I got to invite someone to church. I got to do that. Wow. Break out of your shell. Put yourself out there. Risk being rejected. Risk being embarrassed. Risk someone blowing you off and say, will you come to church with me? It's really a healthy process. Pain is way overrated. It is. Pain is way overrated. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. Lord, I pray we would not be judgmental people. I pray you stepped on toes tonight that needed to be stepped on. And that we would watch what we say, watch what we think, what conversations we're in, how we judge people. And Lord, I pray you would break our heart for hurting people. I pray you would break our heart for hurting people. But there may be somebody sitting here tonight, North County, watching online. You are hurting right now. You are like this woman. You're guilty. But Jesus loves you. He's not condemning you. He wants to forgive you. You already know you're wrong. He wants you to understand what can be right in your life. The Bible says he died and rose from the dead for you. And if you would like to receive his forgiveness, his love, his compassion, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me. And I believe you have a plan for my life. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I lay my life down at your feet. Please take over my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be a new person. I want to follow you faithfully. Transform me into the person you created me to be. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're in the North County, there's going to be someone there who is going to pray with you as you stand there. If you're online, just let us know online that you prayed that prayer. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. This is the time to say, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm not worried about what anybody's going to think. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you right now to stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Many of you all around the room, God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else, stand to your feet. Now in a minute, I'm going to ask all of y'all who are standing. Very good, very good. Anybody else? Now in a minute, I'm going to ask all of you who are standing to come down to the altar. So right now, as you're standing up, just walk out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand. They come on down.